sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, aka Cookie, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you so much for asking. We record and stream live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us as this is an interactive show, just like Miss Siblings, Nuka Darkflex. We got Heartslot in the chat, Lloyd as usual, the Pelican. Thank you so much for joining us. We are here usually Friday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are going to make this regular now, starting today.
Yes, we did it right this time. We're going to do it right next weekend, and I have no idea the weekend after that.
So, but either way, just follow us on social medias. Again, that's on Checkpoint XP on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll notify you when we're on. You can find a Not Your Player 2 podcast on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review, as we would love to read on the show, good or bad. And we actually have a review.
We do! Oh, I love reviews!
I know. This one is from Silaton Vardor, giving us a 5-star review. Thank you so much. And he or she says, I don't know, says, it's about time. Finally, a podcast my wife and I can enjoy together without being awkward. As a working professional in a field where women are underrepresented and often marginalized, I have always been sensitive to other communities where the same plays out. With the rise of the, quote, e-girl culture, it is refreshing to find gaming-related content that provides a fresh perspective that is not designed to draw in male admirers. This may seem contradictory as a male myself, but I appreciate these ladies' perspectives on the community as well as their love for gaming.
Oh, I love it!
Thank you so much,
Nita.
Thank you. We're giving out hearts to you.
Hearts.
No,
I just love it because, like, he kind of, I love when he gets a, because I totally understand what he's talking about, by the way, that, like, awkward moment. I have this come up when I'm kind of sitting with someone, maybe a female friend who's not a gamer herself, where we're just kind of watching these things, and that awkward moment where even though we're women, we kind of know that what you're talking about, we just kind of deal with it.
Exactly.
Yes, I love it. I'm so happy. Thank you so much, Silaton Vardor.
Yes, thank you so much, and be like Silaton Vardor. Leave us a review. We'd love to read your reviews. We haven't had a bad review yet, so...
No, we haven't. So, I mean, you could be our first one.
Yes, exactly. So leave us a review. Again, we'll read on the show, good or bad. So later on our podcast, we're going to recap EVO, the biggest fighting game community tournament in the world of the year. And we also have an interview with Samantha Perchuk Hancock. So we'll be listening to that later on today. But first, we're going to go on with our regular gaming news. The FTC actually did a workshop recently on loot boxes. So the ESA confirmed that Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, and a bunch of other video game developers have agreed to disclose the probability of loot boxes. So it's not considered gambling because you know the probability of stuff coming out, the rarities.
That's what's interesting is because no other, when we think of casinos, they don't necessarily put out these kinds of statistics.
Don't.
So I find this interesting that they're going to do that. Is it me, or am I kind of equating this to when McDonald's puts out their the calorie counts? I'm just thinking, I don't know if I want to know, but I think.
That's an interesting comparison, but yes, I guess you can count it as that.
That's what it made me think of. But at the same time, I'll be interested to see if this really changes much. I only say that because since we're worried about children, especially, they may not have a very good grasp on what those numbers mean.
We can give them math lessons now.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's a great way of introducing math, I guess. So parents, take this cue. If you want to try to get your kids to know math more, this would probably be a great way to start, actually. that's my only thing, but I certainly don't think it's a bad direction to
go. No, it's not. I mean, everyone takes a chance either way, so if they know their chances, sure. I mean, that's your own fault. You're going to go for it. Go for it.
Yeah, it definitely really helps with that visibility. And I think, interestingly, this will I'm wondering what this will cause in future game development, where they have to be aware that their percentages are going to show. So therefore, it's almost becoming competitive within the gaming industry of having those percentages be at something reasonable. I'll be curious to see how this works out. Yeah. But hey, it's a step, I think.
It is a step. Darkflex says it's still gambling even if you know the odds. But still, it's up to you if you want to spend on loot boxes, or, you know, there's also rewards where you just get loot boxes for free. So,
yeah,
it just depends.
Yeah, I mean, it would still be gambling if you knew. People know their chances with blackjack and poker and stuff like that, but it's still gambling even when you go. But at the very least, even if it's still gambling, it's at least a step in the right direction of how to, I think, handle it. But we'll see how they go further with it.
Mr. Blinks on our chat at twitch.tv/checkpoint says, if a 16-year-old can be set for life by winning $3 million in Fortnite, why can't you teach your kid that at 21 they can gamble and win?
Well, because Fortnite itself isn't gambling. That's the difference. Like, that's a skill that they acquired that let them win $3 million. And yeah, it was a competitive. It's more of akin to a kid winning like a scholarship for football, I would say, more than gambling at 21 and winning. Because playing Fortnite does involve skill, while gambling, some skill is involved, but it's not quite the same. So that's my only real reaction to that, I guess.
Speaking of Fortnite, Fortnite Championship Series was announced a couple weeks ago, I believe, a couple weeks ago or last week, I don't remember. But they have announced how much in prizes they're going to give out. They're going to give about 10 million plus in these prizes. So if you are going to go into Fortnite, go for it now. And speaking of Fortnite, Bumble and Gen G partnered up and they created the first all-women's Fortnite team. So the members of this Fortnite team is Kristen, Kitty Plays Valenik, Madison Mann, Tina Reyes Perez, Carly Gress, and Hannah Reyes. So congratulations to the very first women's Fortnite team.
Yeah, in North America!
In North America.
I first was a little hesitant when I first heard this news, so I had to do a little digging, but I'm pretty excited at this step. Yes, I know we've talked at length about my concerns as far as making these women-only tournaments and teams and how we might get comfortable with that. But, you know, this is still really exciting. We get these names out there that we're already... These are players that already were awesome in their own right. So, at the very least, it's putting our names out there.
Oh, yeah, especially with, like, Kitty Plays. Kitty Plays has already been a popular streamer for playing Fortnite, but adding a couple more or a few more women who are also into Fortnite, it gets their name out there, and you just know that women are stepping up to the plate in esports scene.
Exactly. So congratulations, and can't wait to see more.
Yes. And speaking of women in video games, the WNBA is finally being put into the NBA 2K games. 18 years of NBA games, they're finally putting the WNBA into the
games. Yikes. take notes. Was it FIFA that, like, refused to do that? Take notes, I guess.
It was PS.
Yeah, okay. Dude, I don't know my sports that well. Obviously. Most of my sports esports, but hey, okay. This is great, though. Oh, man, finally. 18 years. That's a person going into adulthood amount of time.
So all 12 WNBA teams will be added to the NBA 2K20, and that is set to release worldwide next month, September 6, 2019. That includes all modes, career, story. So grab a copy, NBA 2K20. That's where it's at. I'll probably buy it just because.
Right. Make sure, you know, put those dollars where they count so that they'll keep doing it and not try to pretend that it doesn't make money, because we know that's not true.
Right. Speaking of video games, women in video games, we also have Becky Lynch being the first WWE superstar being on the cover of the WWE 2K games. So I'm excited for Becky Lynch. She nicknames herself The Man because she is the man. So I'm excited for that too. But she shares it with Roman Reigns, but
still.
I get it, but at least she's one of the first women. I love her.
Yes.
Mr. Blink said, shocked it wasn't Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey hasn't been around. She was like there for a guest star and then gone. She didn't stick around. She's off playing with her goats. Yeah, sorry. I had to rant a little bit of that.
Poor Ronda Rousey. I feel like I had been her family because it was the only name I knew, only female name I knew in WWE for a very long time, because I never got into it till rather recently.
Oh, so, that's right. You went to a WWE SmackDown Live event.
I did. It was a little confusing. There wasn't a lot of SmackDowning until towards the end.
Oh, no.
I was just really disappointed because they bring out these two female stars out. And so you're thinking, okay, our first fight, this is great. And then they just walk off the stage.
Yeah.
And then you get two more guys. They start talking for a long time. And the fight, I feel like, was 2 minutes. And then they leave. And in between these were like 15 minutes of commercials. So once it got towards the end, that was fun. And we stayed a little bit longer for like the 205 part. Mm-hmm. I was a little done at that point, but those were good. But that was a confusing experience.
You just got to the wrong SmackDown one. Usually it's only because there's a big pay-per-view this weekend, which is SummerSlam, and usually the events before that, like Raw and SmackDown before the big pay-per-view, is kind of like it's the ones after the big pay-per-view that are the big ones.
We also heard, I forget who announced this on Twitter, we also heard that the script had been rewritten
again
2 hours before, so that may have something to do with it, because it was just kind of confusing. There was one part where it was, I think it's the guy who has the KO star thing with it, the whole, I think the story was that it was just going to be his last match, and if he lost, he would quit wrestling forever.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know the names very well. And I think it was the owner's son that was fighting him or something. And I actually tried to start a chant called Keith Stay in the Ring, because I swear the first three fights, they would start for a couple seconds in the ring and then go out of the ring for most of the rest of the match. And I couldn't see what was going on. So I jokingly was like, stay in the ring. I want to take
Sarah to a WWE event with me one day.
And it was an interesting, we had great seats. Not
okay, good.
It was great. At least when people sat down, it was great. So
anyway, moving along. So, video games are being blamed for the recent mass shootings. And there's some outcomes coming to it. We've had Walmart reportedly taking down violent video game ads, so they're not going to be playing, like, what, Fortnite on the screen, can't play Borderlands on the screen. You have ESPN and ABC pulling the Apex Legends tournament off from their channel. It was supposed to air this Sunday, August 11th, but it was replaced by Forever Broncos. I'm guessing that's football, because preseason football is out right now. So, again, I don't know why.
We are again. It's just this time they're actually trying a little bit of something, but none of this is actually going to last. They did this because of just the outcry. And I guess that's what makes me even the most frustrated about this is, these are some things they're doing right now, but we all know this isn't going to last. Apex Legends is going to come back eventually. They felt at that time that maybe it was inappropriate. I have a lot of mixed feelings about that. I can understand pulling certain things off, you know, public TV or whatever, depending on things that happen. But something like this is a little eye-rolly, but okay. But nothing else is really going to happen here. And that's what's really frustrating about this and why I just got really angry. And not to mention, nothing's really even going to happen about the other thing that gets often blamed, which is mental health. We're not going to get an increased help in mental health field. No. I should know. I'm in it. Nothing's going to change with that. They're just going to keep blaming it. And the same thing with video games. And this is just a very tired old song and dance. And it's just exhausting because it doesn't do anything except get people all wired up. Because here's what's going to happen. And since I exploded in between
shows. Here we go.
Because here's what's going to happen. what we're going to see is on the news, all these politicians and other supposed experts saying video games are to blame. And so then the parents hear about it, and they're going to get all really all fired up, like, you need to stop playing video games, or you need to stop playing those violent video games. But let me tell you something. Nothing's actually going to change. I don't believe for a minute, except for maybe a small percentage of parents, that they're actually going to do anything to prevent their child from playing violent video games. They're probably just going to yell at them saying, you should stop playing those video games. Oh, good. That's effective. And then you get people that are saying, we need to get, you know, cracked down on violent video games. And do what? What are you going to do? Up the ratings on them? Are you going to try to ban them from coming to the United States? LOL. Good luck trying to get that through. Nothing's actually, they're just talking about it because it's easy to talk about and easy to blame without doing any actual work, because basically we can look at video game companies, maybe, or we can just look at what's more often happening, looking at children who are playing them, which is what it usually ends up being, just yelling at the child playing them and not doing anything about it. That's my rant for today.
It just makes me mad because, like, you see these videos where the moms are complaining about, my child has been playing this Grand Theft Auto, this Fortnite forever. And I'm like, you bought the damn game for them. Like, don't you look at the ratings for it? Exactly what you were just saying. Do we up the ratings? No, just parents need to be more in the know, need to able to discipline their kid even more better than that. Because I know I had time restrictions on video games when I was a kid. But, you know, they just got to learn.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so frustrating. I work with a lot of families. That's part of, I'm a social worker myself, and I have empathy for parents that are exhausted, that they're working all day. And so, yes, they turn their child to a video game to kind of help with the fact that they have a child and they do a lot. But you can't, I am so frustrated with also at the same token hearing these parents go, my child plays too many video games. And I want to look at them and go, so what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Take it away? Well, they'll be super upset if I do that. Yeah, they will. But if that's what you believe in, you're not going to force them to do it by just telling them they should do it or asking me to tell them they should do it. They're not going to listen to me. I wouldn't even make them do that. That's what's also so frustrating. They're playing Grand Theft Auto. Have you seen the horribleness of that game? Yeah. Why did you buy it for them? Yeah, seriously. Exactly. Why did you even think that this was a good idea? Don't start yelling at the kid because you allowed them to buy it. If they're a 12-year-old kid, they say something they like, they're going to ask you for it. You can't then turn around and be like, why did you want this game? They want it because they want it. It's a game.
You got to tell them no.
If you don't want them to have it so bad, take it away.
Exactly. Exactly. But I do have to, you know, applaud the gamer community, all the memes that are coming out, you know, like playing Sims. I mean, look at us. Do we look like we're violent? We've been playing games for like so long. I don't think we're violent.
Yeah, and also for people curious, I would have to get some research papers out. I'm a little, and I can't speak too much because I'm not a doctor. I do not have my PhD in psychology. But I do have to tell you that there has been some research done on the effect of violent video games on children and violent tendencies. And a lot of what it shows is there may be a higher instance of feeling that rage and violence right after playing the game, but not longitudinally. When you look at these people who commit these horrible crimes and say, yeah, they were playing GTA. Yeah, they were because people play games. Wasn't necessarily influencing factor in them choosing to do that. Two very different things. Correlation is not causation. And what's actually being kind of seen more and more is people who are more likely to have more of an angry temper and that kind of rage are more likely to play those games, actually. So doesn't really affect it there. There is one study I read once, actually. They were trying to see the difference. They were trying to see how kids would react, or as far as if they felt more violent or more angry or whatever after playing different games. And I think they used like a violent, like Mortal Kombat as the test, and they used Mario Kart, I think, as their kind of
Mario Kart.
Subject to, like, you know, compare like a video game versus a violent video game. And I think they saw, if I recall correctly, they saw more instant feeling at rage with the Mario Kart game, which actually makes sense.
I love that. I really love that.
No, they really didn't think that. I remember I was reading that once upon a time, some years ago, and they were very confused at the end of the research study. I went, they really should have consulted something about this. So, fun fact.
Yeah, that's sorry, that made me laugh.
It's funny. But as far, it's just really frustrating. Because, yeah, I guess I remember Norris made this point of we haven't seen, you know, enough longitudinal of the effects. But I think we also have seen enough to show that these, you know, these people that are committing these crimes now, some of them were also around before these video games even came out. So,
yeah, I saw a meme where, like, what are you guys talking about? Would you blame the two world wars on video games back then? So,
like Call of Duty. Oh my gosh. I think I can safely say this now because this is a podcast, not on the national radio show. But I need to say this now. And this is probably going to not make people very happy. It's a little, but I have to say it. That one politician or mayor or whatever that said video games are training our children to be killers, there was a part of me that sat there and went, yeah, well, so does the military. And
yeah, pretty much.
To go there.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, Call of Duty is based off of. So, but anyway, I'm not going to go deeper into that subject. But that was my initial reaction. So, you know.
Yeah. So what do you think about video games? Are they to blame on the mass shootings? Probably not if you're listening to this. You're probably like shaking your head and thinking of other stories.
A lot.
But let us know some stories about video games that actually helped you come together as a community. We would like to hear stories about that. Connect with us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So this past weekend at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada, right here in my backyard, was EVO. So EVO is the biggest fighting game community tournament event of the year. And I was so happy that I was able to go.
Oh man, we have an EVO fan over here.
Dude, okay. I have to admit, remember back in our early episodes, we were like, we don't know anything about the FGC. What is in the FGC? Who plays in the FGC? So, I had to take this chance and go to this. And boy, I think you and I would have so much fun at EVO. Yeah. It is just so welcoming. Like, you go to Comic-Con conventions. And you're just like, feeling, okay, everyone has our same interests. You don't really have, like, people talking to you as much because you're there just looking at panels and cosplay or whatever. Once you walk in, people are talking to you constantly, no matter what you're doing, whatever you're watching, whatever you're, you know, looking at an artist alley or whatever. Someone's bound to always turn around, talk to you. It's like, hey, did you see this so-and-so? Did you see this? It's just very, very welcoming. And what I've seen is there is a lot more women there than I thought there would be.
Yes! Well, that's what makes me really excited is fighting games as a culture in the esports industry is known as being really bad as far as that boy culture thing. So I'm super excited to hear that it's getting better.
It's so wrong. Like, that perception, it is not a boy culture whatsoever. They are very welcoming with women. A shout out to Combo Queens. Like I said, they had that the women of FGC panel, that was amazing. I actually cried because these group of women was very inspirational. And like, yeah, they were veterans too. Like, you had people who've been going to EVO since 2009. So that made me feel like kind of bad, like that we did not know anything about the FGC, because this community is just so, I don't know, it's very close-knit, and I think we would just totally fit in right to it.
Yeah, it's an older community, too, right? I mean, as far as fighting games being in the esports scene, they've been around for a long time.
They've been around forever, ever since the first arcade cabinet came out.
Yeah, so that also, I think, really works to the favor of all that. When you have it pretty well established, I mean, you're going to get a lot of people that keep kind of pouring into it. So it's got history and more people interested in it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And it was very LGBTQ friendly, so there was a lot of that. there was a lot of that. So I do want to, you know, highlight some of the winners, the women winners at Evo, because you will not hear from them, you know, like in news. Like, we already know that Arslan Ash won Tekken, Bonchan won Street Fighter, but what about the women? So we'll go ahead and highlight some of them. First of all, did you know that there is a Sailor Moon S tournament at Evo?
Excuse me? I had no idea that a game like that existed.
Right? I was so happy. I was like, what? You guys are playing Sailor Moon fighting game here at Evo?
I love it. I don't know why I didn't think that existed. It makes sense, but that's awesome.
It is very awesome. I have to give a shout out to Vicky Viper. She won second place out of 50 entrants. So... I know.
Oh, cool!
So congratulations to Vicky Viper. You got Yohosi at Dragon Ball FighterZ, placed 129 out of 1,200 entrants.
Yeah!
You got Infinity placing 33rd out of 1,577 entrants for Mortal Kombat 11. Sorry. I know. Like, seeing these places go up and up and up, I'm like, okay, these girls can play.
Yeah, oh, of course. That's awesome.
We got Cuddlecore. This woman I've been watching, like, I've heard about her during the Women of the FGC panel, and she was there in the crowd, and she said, oh, she's playing Tekken. She placed 13 out of 1,889 entrants for Tekken. And she lost to Arslan Ash, which is, you know, I get it, because he was totally undefeated. He became world champion for Tekken at Evo.
Well,
but
you know, you're doing pretty well if you're still going head to head with the world champion.
Right. But she's still placing top 20. I mean, come on now.
Top 10%.
Exactly. Also, shout out to, we have a lot of Street Fighter players, from what I've noticed. You got Phantom Miria, placed 385th. She is actually part of EXO Academy. We will be talking to the founder of EXO Academy later on in this podcast, with Samantha Persia Hancock. Again, she placed 385 in Street Fighter V out of 1,951 entrants. You got Sherry Jennix, placed 257th. Fun fact about Sherry Jennix, she actually has this program called eFight Pass, which basically helps foreign players come into the U.S., get their visas, come into the U.S. and play in these kind of tournaments. Wow. And Arslan Ash was one of them. If he didn't use that program that Sherry Jennix didn't do, he wouldn't have won that Tekken tournament here.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's so awesome. Again, like I said, this whole FGC is just... Oh, it's so amazing. Marine, we've talked about her. She took a win at CEO against a veteran, Dagura. She placed 127. She is also an EXO Academy student, alumni. Ricky Ortiz, we've heard about Ricky Ortiz before. She's also a veteran. She placed 33 at Street Fighter. Yeah. Yeah. And then we got the, you know, one of the very top in Soul Calibur 6. Yes, we had Soul Calibur here. Kayane tied 7th out of 746. She is top 8. So she was on the main stage at Evo.
Yay.
Playing. Oh, it's just so amazing. Sir, you got to go next year.
I know. Oh, that's super exciting. It's so nice and warm and fuzzy to see all this because, yeah, I mean, you hear so many horror stories and so you get worried, you know, I always get worried. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's still things to be done, but look how far they've come. I can't even imagine. Super awesome to see.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Congratulations to all the winners. And, you know, even if you didn't win or anything, you're still a winner because you competed, you cosplayed, you were at the artist alley, you covered. There was just so many women everywhere you turned around. It's like there's someone there you can talk to.
Awesome.
So, you did mention that there's some kind of unfortunate events. Unfortunately, yes, there was a couple at the after party at the HyperX Esports Arena. There are reports that a couple women were sexually harassed. Someone brought their hand up their skirt or something like that. There is also reports of drinks being drugged Then, like a guy friend took his friend's drink. You know, it was supposed to be for her, but he drank it and felt drugged from that. And it's just so bad to hear that right after just having a great time at Evo.
I know. It's got to be hard to even think about. I mean, were you even close to going to the party like that? Not saying that that would have happened to you, but it's just, I always hate when I hear these stories for this exact reason.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing that I didn't go. I mean, I would have loved to go. It's just I had work stuff to do.
Right.
But I did go to the past two after parties, and they were fine. It's just that this one seemed to be the one, the big one. And the only problem was, is I think it's because it was also open to the public as well. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a mix of the Evo attendees plus public in Las Vegas. So you don't know or where it can be isolated who actually did this. It's just a sad situation for everyone there.
Very. If you ever wonder why women are so hyper-vigilant at places, like just gatherings of this kind of nature at this kind of scale where alcohol is involved, this is why. Because you just don't know if you're going to be the picked one that day. Ugh, it's gross.
But yeah.
It's very sad with something such, you know, such big wins as here. So, ugh. Ugh. It's gross.
Yeah, well, which is why we did, you know, kind of reiterate, you know, our safety in numbers. And, you know, as always, we're going to count on you guy friends as well. If you do see something wrong, shout it out. Let us know or let someone know. I mean, you can't just be quiet about these things. You have to talk and exactly. Let someone know. Either way, Evo is a freaking amazing.
You're right. It's still awesome. Totally agree.
Next year you gotta go. Anyway, were you at Evo? What was your favorite match at Evo? Let us know on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Christine Solis with Checkpoint XP here at Evo 2019 at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. I'm here with Samantha Hancock, a.k.a. Persia. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. We just finished our Women of the FGC panel, and it was awesome. So many people came out to support, so I'm really excited with the turnout.
Oh, it was a great, great, great panel. I didn't believe I'd be so emotional with this panel.
I know. I told myself I wasn't going to cry, and I pretty much did.
Well, there's been such a great support for this. Now, first, let's tell us what you do with you do EXO Academy. Tell our listeners what you do with EXO Academy.
Yeah, EXO Academy is a 4-week training program in which I find a dedicated woman in the FGC looking to level up her game, and then I put them through 4 weeks of training with a pro player coach. We also have physical therapy, marketing and branding, media training. We offer something similar to an elective style choice of coach where they let us know what they're interested in, whether it be cosplay or commentary or content creation. And we also give them a training session with someone who specializes in those things as well. And then the cherry, like, on top is sending them to the event. So, you know, it's more than just sponsoring a player to be at an event, but preparing them to be there and preparing them to do more beyond the program and beyond, you know, the one event that we'll be able to send them to. And so far, you know, we've had 4 waves. We're in the middle of our 4th wave, And all of the players that have gone through the program, you know, they're still actively playing. They're still competing. They do better every single time. You know, SVL, she was a part of Wave 2. She made it to Losers Finals of her pole at Combo Breaker. Now we're here at Evo. She made it out of poles.
Wow.
You know, they're just showing so much improvement. Marine, she made it out in winners. Amazing stuff. And, you know, we're going to see how Phantomiria does at Evo this weekend. She plays tomorrow, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that is very exciting. Now, for women who's listening to this or girls who really want to get into this kind of program, do you have to be local or is it all just whatever's in their area or do they have to fly somewhere closer?
Mm-hmm. The program, all of the training sessions are all online, so it actually doesn't matter where you're located. All that we do ask is that all the applicants, you know, they're dedicated, they're passionate, and they're also, you know, actively still trying to better themselves, you know, with or without us. Because, you know, I mentioned it in the panel, we've only sponsored 6 players so far, but we have like 75 plus applications. And I wish I could, you know, just get everyone. Yeah, but I can't. So, you know, it really comes down to who's, you know, going the next step, you know, above and beyond for themselves. Because if you're willing to do that for yourself, you know, what else can you do with help and with an opportunity? So that's kind of something that we're looking for also, because it's not, you know, it's going to be something way past that 4 weeks. And we want people with the mentality that they're going to carry all of this knowledge and all of, you know, the schedule and everything, you know, with them past the program. And, you know, it does take a specific type of person to be able to absorb all of that and carry it on their own afterwards. So that's kind of something we're looking forward to.
And it's not just for FGC, is it for other games as well?
Right now we're only FGC. We've done Street Fighter, Tekken, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and you know, I'm really, really trying to do a way for Eunice and, you know, other games and Smash hopefully. But baby steps. Most of our applicants are actually Street Fighter players, so
yeah.
That's why we've definitely had a Street Fighter player every wave. But you know, I'm looking to expand. But right now we're only in the FGC, and I feel like that's kind of where we should stay because, you know, in other genres, it's harder to put someone through a training like this and then they go and play on a team with 3 other people.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, there's a difference at that point. Team games like that, it's not just you. Fighting games, however, that's all you, you know? So I feel like there's a little bit of a barrier to try to take this beyond, unless you have, you know, an all-female team or something like that, then, you know, that might work, but that's still a reach. I feel like that's still difficult, something really difficult to do. But what makes it better is that, you know, I have been in the FGC for a long time now, and I know the community, and I know, you know, people who would be a good choice, you know, I know people's history and stuff like that. So it's like certain coaches, yeah, maybe on paper this champion would be a great coach, but judging by how they interact with people or how they interact with other women or, you know, how they view people who try to get information from them by asking them questions and stuff like that, I take all those things into consideration too. So sometimes it's not even you applied and I didn't accept you. It could be I have not found a coach that I think is worthy of being your coach yet. So you literally cannot go through the program until I find that perfect pairing, because, you know, you have to be mindful about who you're pairing with who, chemistry, you know, what does this player really need? And, you know, I think that takes a lot of time to just find like the perfect pairings too.
How long has this been open?
We started in January. Like we opened up our doors in January. Yeah. So it's still very, very young and in its infancy. But everyone's shown so much support. It's been amazing. So I think, you know, we're like, it's August now. Oh God. So like, we're like, you know, going on 8 months in now, and and it's been great for what we have, you know, and of course I want it to get bigger, but I'm actually very satisfied with where it is right now. And, you know, any bigger, it's like, would I really be able to like continue to do all of this as well as it's going, you know, because I am the one editing all the videos, uploading. I'm doing social media. I'm, you know, making them their, you know, custom videos and, you know, making sure these coaches get paid and making sure their flights on, you know, purchased, hotels squared away, making sure, you know, they're registered and they have everything that they need. And, you know, there's so many moving parts that I'm handling right now, but I can because we're still very small. But as much as I want it to grow, I know that's going to come with getting more people in to help me run it. But we're just not at that point yet, you know? So, baby steps. Baby steps.
It's still growing. I mean, like, after you had Marine coming out of the EXO Academy and going into CEO and making a name for herself already, that's so really great. Amazing. Now, one thing about this Women of SGC panel that I realized that you guys have been doing this for a long time. How long have you been in this scene?
Yeah, I've been in the, you know, I'm an 09er. So when I joined the FGC, it was like around 2009.
So 10 years.
Yeah, so 10 years now. I had come from the FPS scene. I was a competitor, a longtime competitor, you know, in Halo. I like went to my first Halo 2 tournament like back in 04. Wow. So it's like a long time ago. But what I hated was that I was so competitive, and I'm still so competitive. But when you play a shooter game, you have to have a team, and it was so hard to find a team. It was hard to find teammates who were as passionate and driven as I was, and people who are actually dedicated, and so on and so forth. And then we would go to these tournaments, and we would lose bad. And I'm like, I'm a better player than that. And, you know, it gets so hard to not blame the team.
Right.
When, you know, in game, like team games. So I got introduced to FGC and I was like, oh, wait, I can compete without a team? Oh, this is amazing. And I didn't realize fighting games were so damn hard, though. So it was like a little bit of, you know, a give and take there. But yeah, no, I love FGC. I've been here for like a long time. My competitive background is like at about like 15 years, but I've been, you know, gaming all my life with my parents and my older brother. You know, that's where my competitive drive comes from. Me constantly trying to be my older brother growing up.
Always a sibling's fault.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much like my wrap up of my time in FGC, I guess.
This is Christine Solis of Checkpoint XP. Again, I'm here with Samantha Hancock, aka Persia. How did you get that nickname, Persia, by the way?
It's a funny story, actually. I joined a team when I first came into the FGC, and they gave me that name.
Oh.
Yeah, so I actually had a different...
It.
Yeah, I didn't choose at all. It ended up sticking, so I was like, all right.
What was the original?
Super Sam.
Super Sam, like an actual superhero.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was my old handle, and then when I came to the FGC, it was like a little bit of a rebranding, pretty much, so that was pretty cool.
So why did they call you Persia, though?
I don't know. It was just like some crazy.
Oh, that's totally random. So you did mention there's lots of, you know, this again, like I said, there's so much support. There was used to be like an all-girl tournament. Would you want to see that come back again at EVO?
Personally, like, I know there's always a lot of back and forth on this subject, but personally, I feel like it's not necessary for a competitive aspect, right? It's like, right, we're here at EVO, and we have this amazing tournament, and then now we have a women's tournament. It's like, that's not really my cup of tea. But if it's something like Smash Sisters, where they are actively making these all, like, women tournaments because they want, you know, women to come out and feel comfortable and have some inclusivity, like, that is their goal. Their goal is not to pit all the women against each other to compete. They are creating a nice welcoming space, helping women, like, feel comfortable, and through that process, they're going to get better and level up. And then when they go play in a regular tournament, no one's going to think twice that they should be in a tournament of all on their own, because they're going to be competitors. They're going to be heavy hitters. You know, this year we've been seeing girls take out some top players, you know, and all of that comes with them being just like everybody else in this community. We go to these sessions, we play, we practice, you know, we don't you know, we don't purposely want to go and have everything be all female, in my opinion. Like, I feel like that's the last thing on any woman's mind when she comes to the tournament. But having a space to do that is the good part, right? So it's like having combo queens, it's amazing. And I get to come and, like, bond and meet other, like, women who are into the same thing that I'm into. We have a great time. And then we all go back to what we all love, the FGC. You know what I mean? So I think it's nice that we have these little, you know, separate spaces, but I don't think it needs to be like all the time constantly, but that's my opinion, you know.
Now we do have a lot of female listeners, female and women listeners, for also our sub podcast called Not Your Player 2. What advice would you have for them when they're trying to get into the video game space?
Just do what you love, you know? Like, it's going to sound cliche, but you can't let anybody stop you from doing what truly makes you happy, right? It's, of course, going to be hard and it's going to be annoying. There's going to be trolls. There's going to be people who are not going to share your vision, but none of those people matter, because if they're not on board with you, then they don't need to be anywhere, like, near you at all. They don't need to be anywhere near, like, your goals and, like, what you're working on, because those people are not productive. They're not adding anything of value to your life and your goals. So it's like, just do you. Like, keep your eye on the prize and work hard for it. And unfortunately for us, we will have to work harder than everyone else to get maybe even half of what they're going to get sometimes. So it's like, that's just the nature of it. It sucks, of course, but by you going and, you know, prevailing and overcoming all of that bullshit to get to where you need to be, that's what's going to make real change. Leading by example makes that change. Not, you know, let's, you know, in the panel, in the very beginning, I was like, I think the problem lies in the fact that when people want to have something to say about women having their own space, they're negative about it. Like, why are you being so negative about it? If you really have a problem, we should be able to be adults and you actually just talk about it and really see why you don't like this. But people are always so negative about it. I'm like, why are you, you know, making such a big deal out of this, making it so negative, when we could just have a discussion, right? Yeah. And it's like, they act like we don't want to, you know, have reasonable discussions with them, but we do, because we don't want to talk about this all the time. And the faster we can just spread some knowledge, they understand, then we can all move on and live our lives. Yeah, that'll be easy. But, you know, it's just all about the grind. Keep it on, keep it on.
Keep on going. You're so inspirational. I'm going to start crying again. Now, where can they find EXO Academy and support it? And where can they find you on social media?
Yes, please support EXO Academy. We have a Patreon. That's where basically, like, we survive on Patreon. So that's patreon.com/EXO Academy. You can also follow us on Twitter at EXO Academy FGC. Those are our only two, like, main pages. So it has, like, all of our info. Our Twitter is, like, the place to be if you want to know about updates when our players are streaming, so on and so forth. We always make our announcements on Twitter also. And then you can follow me at Persia_EXO on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Persia, for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, thank you so much to Samantha Hancock, aka Persia, for speaking with me at Evo. The one thing that she did point out, that she doesn't believe having all women's tournaments at Evo, I have to agree with her.
It's so funny because we've been kind of dancing around that subject, actually going right into that subject. And so, wow, it's just kind of awesome to really hear somebody who's definitely in the space see that point of view as well. She's so cool.
I know.
She's so cool. And so, yeah, when she brought that up, it was just kind of, yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, I liked how she said that, you know, what's different between that versus what Smash Sisters does.
Exactly.
An organization that's kind of there to bring women together, and the idea of, then therefore it shouldn't seem like such a weird transition to put them in the space with all competitors. I loved that.
Exactly. And that's what Smash Sisters does. But with this panel, Combo Queens is not just for women too. It's also for men. Like, there were plenty of men in the room as well, supporting either friends, their sisters, their niece, whatever. I mean, I know I said, you know, mostly women or females listen to Not Your Player 2, but I know there's plenty of men who listen to this podcast as well. And we say thank you, you know, thank you for listening to us and for supporting us. And that's what it is in any gaming space, in the FGC and FPS, MOBA. We just want you guys to, you know, accept us, welcome us, you know, let us play with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. We want to play. So let's do it. Let's be there.
Yeah. So again, follow Persia on Twitter and follow their Patreon, patreon.com/XOAcademy. This is an awesome academy. 4 weeks of training into the FGC. I mean, they help you, they follow you. So I'm all for it if I can actually play, but
that's the problem, right? It's only in another life.
In another life. Again, thank you so much, Samantha, Persia, Hancock for speaking with me out at Evo. That will do it for today. Thank you so much for joining us at Not Your Player 2 podcast. Again, we live stream and record every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to try to at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Join us for the discussion. We love seeing regular names such as Omega Woltaw, Nuka Darflux, Hakim, New Face Angel. Haven't seen you in a while in the chat. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast. Leave us a review. We'll definitely read it on the show, just as our earlier review from Silatent Vardor. Thank you again so much for that wonderful review. We love you. Thank you.
Heart.
Thank you.
You too can get a heart.
CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our national syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, and our other podcasts, such as The Other Identity, Low Team Damage, our Overwatch League podcast with Robbie and Norris. Thank you again so much for joining us here on Not Your Player 2, and we are signing off.
Bye-bye.